Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Red Energy.
Well, I have to quarantine for 2 weeks. And just in the same way, a skilled worker who has to come in to fix a boilermaker, a boiler or something like that, they can get exemptions to come in and do that. That's an important economic activity. And the same applies here. But they have to quarantine for those 2 weeks if you're unvaccinated.
You can come in if you're double vaccinated. If a state is seeking an exemption for somebody to come in for a workplace program or a similar event, if the state wishes to seek the exemption for the players, not any one particular player, then that would be granted at the Commonwealth level on a major events basis.
Well, I'm not applying for any exemptions for any unvaccinated players. So if we don't apply for an exemption, then no exemption will be granted. All I'd say is this: I'm not going to ask and actually require people sitting in the grandstand, people working at the event, to be vaccinated while players aren't. So we're not going to be applying for an exemption. So therefore, the issue is basically resolved.
8 minutes past six. Hello and welcome to Sports Day. The issue is resolved. That last bit coming from our Premier, Daniel Andrews. Matt Granlin, if I don't think I'd pay any money to watch a tennis match between Greg Hunt and Scott Morrison on one side of the net, Daniel Andrews and Brett Sutton on the other side of the net. In fact, you'd probably have to pay me to go and watch that game of tennis. But as far as a political game of tennis, it's been entertaining.
Absolutely. I think Dan was the one that served first and said, well, it's up to the feds. The feds said, yep, we'll let him in. And then back to Dan we go. And then he finished the game. It was...
No, you missed the little Sutton volley.
Oh, that's right. Sutton volley. And then he finished the game. It's done now. It's done. The cake's baked. The egg scrambled. Whatever metaphor you want to use, it's over.
So when you're saying it's over... So Novak
Dan just said it's over. It's been dealt with.
Novak isn't coming.
I don't think so. Well, if Novak isn't
vaccinated... Is there any loophole? Is there a way?
Well, we were talking about this off-air, about whether or not could maybe someone like Djokovic come into New South Wales, say, or quarantine in Sydney and then make their way down
to
Victoria.
And if the rule changes between coming into Victoria unvaccinated from a domestic, I mean, the thing is that, and we've said this every time, it can change, it's a moving beast, this whole COVID. It's, what are we now? We're October 26, 27. We've still got November, December, mid-January. We've got 2.5 months for more people to get vaccinated, for rules to change. Anyway, I mean, we've talked about tennis at the start all week. We're about to talk Demons. And we're about to chat to their CEO, Gary Peart.
Now, before we do that, though, Sam, I heard a podcast with Campbell Brown on it. Talking about a little fracas that happened at a nightclub after the grand final between the Melbourne players and the Western Bulldogs players. Now, you were over there, so I want you to have a listen to what Campbell Brown said. This is apparently what happened. Let's listen.
They're at this club. Level 3, doggies are level 2. Remember, they hate each other. They're hanging over the rails, giving it to the doggies boys, right? Getting real heated, real personal. You come down, we'll come up, right? We're going to fight
you. Halfway.
We'll meet you halfway, right? And it would have been unbelievable. Imagine that. Like the two teams that played in the grand final on the Saturday, punching on at a club on a Monday. It didn't come to blows. A player from Melbourne and a player from the Western Bulldogs that are best mates, used to live together, may still do. They met halfway between level 2 and level 3, right, in safe ground, and negotiated a peace treaty.
There's Campbell. Now, it sounds like a bit of mayo may have been put on this story. It sounds like a sportsman's night story that'll live on for years and years and years. But, Sam, you were over there. You were in Perth. You may have even been in this nightclub. Is there any truth? Did you hear anything about a fight, a potential fight between the Western Bulldogs and the Demons players? Come on. Did you hear anything?
Look, hand on heart, I was made aware of an incident at a nightclub midweek after the grand final.
Oh.
But I was told that it would petered out pretty quickly. And I'm a big believer, Matty, as you know, in stuff that happens when footballers are out and about should remain private until the public needs to be made aware of it. That is, if police get involved, if it affects anyone else at the club, if the club, impose sanctions, then it's fair game. Otherwise, you're a member of the public, out with your mates, enjoying your time. Anyway, I don't know what actually happened. I'm not sure if their CEO, Gary Pert, was actually at the nightclub with them. I would suggest not, Pertie, as we welcome you in. But any response to Campbell Brown's story?
Hey, Sam and Maddie. Well, I can guarantee you right up front, I wasn't at the nightclub.
Oh, that's disappointing.
That they were talking about. But no, from all my reports, it's absolutely blown out of all proportions. But like all these things, you don't like tipping water on them, because these are the stories that just keep on growing as the days go on. So, but unfortunately, this one was a bit of a beat up.
There will be a documentary at some point, Pertie, down the track, you know, 10 or 20 years down the track, and it'll all come out. All the names will come out.
10 or 20 years? Purdy's already commissioned the documentary. It's getting filmed next year.
And it'll be a sportsman's night story down the track. But anyway, Pertie, let's have a chat about the big celebration that you got planned. I think it's December 5, the date, yep, at the MCG. So have you worked out what it's going to look like?
Well, we've got a bit of an idea what it's going to look like, but again, it's all going to be shaped by the state government, and, you know, we'll be applying or in the process of applying to be allowed to have a crowd at the MCG and allow all our supporters to come along. It'll be the first chance we've had to get the players and the cup and get all together and celebrate, and, you know, it's going to be very exciting. But again, we do need to go through a little bit of process. We've asked everyone to keep that date spare. And as soon as we've got the details, we'll come out with them public. But it will be a ticketed event. It won't cost anything, but it'll be a ticketed event. I'm sure we'll be bound by some COVID guidelines about how everyone needs to behave and vaccinations, and we understand that. But we're all pretty excited about getting together.
Pertie, can I give you an idea for it? Because I'm an ideas man. I reckon what you should do is, right, get all the fans there, replay the whole game again on the big screen, and then reenact the cup presentation. Bring out the dais.
Oh, I like it.
Bring Gary Lyon back to present the cup. Get the players up to get their
Craig
medals.
Get
Craig Willis out of retirement. Basil Zemplis, we won't fly him back over to the MCG. Goody can have his speech finally. He can say thank you. Just reenact the whole thing.
Well, Matty, I might put you on our little working party on that one. I think that's a good idea. But Goody was very excited to do his speech and thank all the key people. So this could be the big opportunity. But rest assured, for the supporters coming along, the players will be represented. And I would suggest Gary Lyon will be there doing exactly what he did over in Perth. And there'll be plenty of speeches, and you'll get to hear from the players, and there'll be entertainment up on the big screen, just like you're talking about. It's going to be a fun day, and like I said, we'll want all the supporters to come along, especially the families and the kids. First time to see the cup and experience this this premiership celebration. So the 5th of December.
The 5th of December, Gary's a Sunday. I tell you what it would do, Matty, is that it would give all those Melbourne fans a chance to pack down Swan Street on the way out, and people pouring out of the corner hotel, red and blue everywhere. It'd be this mini sort of grand final feel to it.
Fantastic.
In December. How good would that be? And it'd be better weather as well. Hey, Pertie, can we just ask you, now that the dust has settled on what was a momentous occasion for your proud footy club, what does it do for you heading into next year, sponsorship-wise, membership-wise? It feels like this club has been a sleeping giant for so long. We saw what happened to Richmond when they broke through and won a flag, and now they've got more than 100,000 members. I'm not sure. You tell me if the Demons are capable of getting to those heights. But there are a lot of Melbourne fans who will be brought out because of this.
Yeah, I don't think I'm careful to use terms like sleeping giant, but there's no doubt that as a club, we haven't had ongoing on-field success. So we're, let's say, a small version of ourselves of what we're capable of being. And,
yep,
and the Demon spirit has been reignited. And you've only got to go around Melbourne. You guys are over there in Perth, and we saw it in Adelaide, wherever we played. There's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of Melbourne supporters. There's a lot of people up and about and wanting to, like you said, sign up for memberships, come along to the games, make sure they're at the events. They're all wearing the colours around. I love the fact that even though the game's over, I still every single day see people wearing their Melbourne gear around. They're feeling very proud at the moment. So it'll be interesting the next 12 months to see what the club is capable of swelling to. And that's why we want to have the first game of the year to be a replay of the grand final, because we want to see not only the Melbourne supporters but the Bulldog supporters as well come along to the MCG and actually experience the two teams that are both, you know, in they've got very talented young groups, and hopefully they're going to be continue their success next year. But in some ways it's been so long, we don't know how quickly that momentum will grow, but we'll certainly be doing a lot of work to be the biggest and strongest version of ourselves. And the Melbourne Footy Club has been, you know, one of the powerhouse clubs for a long time. And now there's a lot of excitement. Like I said, that demon spirit certainly back and around the place, which is a lot of fun.
What's a premiership worth revenue-wise, Purdy? Can you put a number on it when you combine all the merchandise that you sell off the back of it, membership next year, all the corporate packages you'll sell off the back of it? Can you put a number on it?
Oh, look, well, if we hadn't have played in the finals and won the grand final, we wouldn't have made a profit this year. We probably would have at best broke even. And we might end up around about the $1.5 to $2 million this year. And then next year, as hopefully the membership grows and we play in some big blockbuster games and the supporters come along and want to be part of it, there's a chance that there's probably another $2 million upside next year. And these are all really important numbers for us, because we're coming off the back of 2 years of the pandemic where we've been really, you know, smashed financially to the figure of around about $8 million. So it's coming at an important time.
Gary Pert is the Melbourne CEO, the Premiership CEO, and he joins us live on Sports Day. Gary, what was the ticketed event? What was it for, Matty? A regional tour that was going around?
It was a private company, I think, that put it on, Purdy.
Okay, it was $149 for a ticket, $499 for a family pass. I think they were promising... was it the coach was going to be there? Some players as well?
A replica cup, yeah. Are you involved in that at all?
Look, it's one of those ones that are a little bit frustrating, I've got to say, is, you know, during this period when the players and coaches finish at the end of the year, they have a period when, you know, they have time off and they have a break. During that time, it's very difficult for us to be getting the cup out and about to our supporters, which in the next couple of days we're going to be launching our national tour of the cup. We want to make sure that we get it to every supporter nationally that wants to be there, get a photo, see the cup. We'll be starting off the first stage of that in Metro Melbourne and regional Victoria because of border restrictions. But eventually as things open up, it'll be going to all the supporter groups around Australia. But you know, there are commercial operations that have produced replica or in effect fake premiership cups, and they're paying players and coaches and others to go along, and it's a commercial operation. It's nothing to do with the club.
Would you prefer them not to, though, Gary? Would you prefer the players to say no?
Oh, look, the AFL industry is such that there's a lot of commercial operations that work on the edge of the industry, and you know, it's one of those things that for us, we want to make sure that every Melbourne supporter can see and experience the cup for free. In fact, our national tour will probably cost around $100,000 by the time it's finished. You know, I do struggle with the fact that the commercial operations, that's exactly what they are, and unfortunately we feel a lot of questions and calls and emails and messages that come through to the club, the Melbourne Footy Club, answering about what is, you know, two or three that I know of commercial ventures that are operating at the moment.
And can Melbourne fans pencil in that first Friday night of round one? Have you heard back from the AFL for the grand final rematch?
Oh, look, it's a bit early yet, but, you know, we've spoken to the AFL. I think I spoke to Travis Old by about 9 o'clock the morning after the grand final to say, look, this is something that I think would be good, not only for Melbourne supporters, but I think would be good for the AFL and just people generally in Melbourne to have a game to look forward to. And like I said, it's pretty simple for us. We want an opportunity to say thanks to our supporters. So many of them would have loved to have been in there, or they would love to have us have been back in Melbourne at the MCG after waiting so long to watch that premiership win. But it's our chance to say thanks and for the players to put on another show and represent the club similar to what they did in the grand final.
Will you be strong again next season?
Well, we hope so. We're a very young list. I mean, you look at a lot of our players that played in that grand final were some of our best players. They've still got 10 years of footy ahead of them.
Yep.
So we would like to say, like to think that, you know, if we can keep the list fit, and there's certainly so much talent in this, and a lot of the talent has got, you know, years of growth in it. So we think it's a pretty exciting time. And like I said, in the life cycle of our list, most of those players are a long way from hitting their peak yet. So that's pretty exciting in itself.
Gary, it's been a pretty exciting and a pretty special time for your great footy club. Even in my suburb of Richmond, it's hard to walk past a house without red and blue coming out. I mean, it's only, we're about to go into November, so there might be a couple of knocks on doors to take them down pretty soon, but it's been a long time coming, so maybe they deserve it. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Purdy.
Great. Thanks, guys. Appreciate your support.
Gary Peart there, the Melbourne CEO. Okay, so December 5, that'll be pretty special. Ticketed events, not going to cost anything. They'll pack out.
Absolutely.
They'll get a big crowd there. I don't know how many. I've no idea, but I assume they'll get more than 60.
You reckon 60? Wow.
Am I completely overestimating that?
Well,
Melbourne fans, 133693. Is every single Melbourne fan that lives in Victoria getting a free ticket to December 5, Sunday, December 5?
And what do you want the day to look like? You heard my idea.
Yep. And if you're not going, why not? 133693. More sports after this. Welcome back to Sports Day. We're here for Red Energy and the new Kia Niro. Forgot you. We're not going to forget about this horse anytime soon. The $2 favourite for the Victoria Derby on the weekend, Matty, is on course to try to become the first three-year-old to win the Melbourne Cup in 80 years.
Mm. And the jockey is in very good form himself.
Oh, talk about good form. Daniel Moore spent two decades trying to win a Group 1 race, and then this spring he's gone 3 in 4 weeks.
Bang. Bang, bang, and bang again.
When it rains, it pours. Welcome to you, Daniel Moore.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Great to have you on. What do you put the quick turnaround into success down to, I guess?
Fast horses, I think.
It's got to be a bit more than that, Daniel. Give yourself some credit.
Yeah, I guess just a few more opportunities sort of bobbed up and sort of things falling your way a little bit. I'd sort of ridden a domestic Group 1 winner overseas in Mauritius, but it was yet to break the duck here, and it was nice to knock it off and get on somewhat of fun.
And how are you handling it, Daniel? I mean, if you were a young bloke, you'd probably be out celebrating and all the rest of it, but, you know, all the success coming at such a quick time, how are you handling it as a sort of an older jockey?
Yeah, sort of business as usual, really. I guess COVID sort of restrictions helped that along as well. I had lunch with my wife on Monday, and it was pretty quiet. We had to pick up the kids from school afterwards. So, yeah, it's been business as usual. And I sort of knew that I had some reasonable rides sort of penned in early doors. So, it's a busy time of year, and you've sort of got to be focused up and you're most dedicated this time of year.
Can you tell us a little bit about Forgot You, Daniel? And the son of Savabeel, obviously, as we talked about, a $2 favourite, and for a three-year-old has just so many plaudits for it.
Yeah, he's a lovely, lovely style of horse. He, as a young horse, he sort of wanted to get on with things and was a bit aggressive. He wanted to pull and reef and tear, and the team have done a great job. Vicky White, that rides in work, has really helped us out in getting him to settle and switch off, and he's sort of actually gone the other way now, where he takes a bit of stoking up, but for a horse that's sort of bred to stay and get over ground, that's what you want. You don't want them to be aggressive. You want them to conserve as much as they can and come with a turn of foot. But he's handling things okay at the moment as a three-year-old. He's had a big, long preparation. And win, lose, or draw on Saturday, he'll be a much, much better horse next preparation and possibly with the addition of Blinkers.
Who's the major threat in the race, do you think, Daniel? Is it Gunstock?
Three-year-old races, just they really aren't cut and dry, especially when we're getting up to Derby distances. Like, you know, people can tell you until they're black and blue in the face that their horse will run the trip, but they won't know until Saturday, you know. So you've got a lot of different form lines coming through. You've got the Geelong Classic form lines. You've got some Kiwi horses coming, some Sydney horses, and obviously lightly sort of raced horses. So, you know, it's a big melting pot of form and sort of form lines coming into it. I'm respecting a lot of those horses that have got exposed form at the moment, but Derbies can be won by horses out of the blue. So all I can focus on is my bloke and getting the right run in transit.
Daniel, we spend a lot of time on this show in footy season, you know, talking to footballers ahead of big games and ahead of big fortnights, ahead of big final series and how they handle nerves. Do you get nervous before a ride? And do those nerves increase before a ride like Saturday?
I don't think you get nervous. You sort of just want to get on with the job and you know, once you're out there and involved and on the horse, it's sort of most of your thoughts sort of go away. But you'd be lying if you didn't have a level of anxiousness and wanting to, well, that's not really a word, but anxiousness and wanting to get on with the job. But I'd say it's not really nervous energy, it's just excitement and wanting to get on with it. But obviously, you know, I'm not a veteran yet, but I'm a little bit older and had a bit of experience here and there, so just taking it as it comes.
And you credited fast horses at the start as, you know, the form you're in. I mean, can you be in good form as a jockey? Can you just can it just be flowing well for you?
Yeah, I think, most definitely. Obviously, when you're in form, your instinct takes over a little bit. You ride a little bit more on instinct rather than trying too hard to make something work that's not happening. I speak to Mick Dibman a lot. He was a great help to me in Singapore when I rode in Singapore. And he was obviously a freak jockey himself, and he just basically said, you know, you've got to just ride on instinct. And you can sort of ride your way into form, and you can also ride your way out of form. You can sort of go around a little bit too much and sort of blow yourself up. That's why I sort of take breaks now and sort of focus on family and things like that. But no, definitely, when you're in form, things generally happen a little bit more often and you get luck rather than bad luck.
Who are you most nervous about for your three Group 1 races on Saturday?
I guess the most level of anxiety expectation is on Forgot You. Obviously, everyone's expecting him to win, but like I said, we've got a few sort of hurdles to get over and it'll be interesting to see how the race pans out. But it's more excitement for all three rides. I'd love to see my old girl, Sierra Sue, bounce back from...
Yeah.
Get an atrial fibrillation her last start, so that can be forgiven. She's got a really nice gate too. She's going to get a great run, so I'd really like to see her bounce back. Obviously, riding for Godolphin in great shouting is a really, it's an exciting time and it's a horse in good form. So, yeah, it's going to be a big day and I'll be looking forward to sitting down and having a stubby afterwards on Saturday night, I can tell you.
And how good having crowds back at Flemington too, Daniel? Must be looking forward to that.
Yeah, I've sort of ridden without crowds for almost sort of 3 years now. We rode in Singapore for a long time and COVID hit over there and crowds stopped almost immediately. So haven't seen a lot of crowds. It's going to be interesting. I sort of like to just keep to myself and get on with things myself. But, unselfishly, it's much, much better for everyone to be able to go and enjoy.
Has it been a little bit eerie? You've probably gotten used to it. But initially, was it eerie with no crowds?
Yeah, definitely. I think... The most eerie part, obviously Singapore crowds are quite vocal, but the most eerie part was riding in a Melbourne Cup last year with no crowds. Mm. That was bizarre, you know. I think everyone's itching to get back to the races. 5,500, I think, on Saturday's great. It'd be nice if we were 100,000 deep again, but hopefully we're not far off that again.
Yeah, well, what we're both on this show hoping for is that you return with three more Group 1 wins under your belt when you leave Saturday. That stubby might taste just a little bit nicer. Daniel, well done on the newfound success in Group 1s, and let's hope it continues on Saturday. Thanks so much for coming on.
No stress, guys. Thanks for the support.
Daniel Moore there, jockey on Forgot You, the $2 favourite. He's got Ingratiating in the Coolmore. He's got Sierra Sue in the Empire Rose, who's already had a Group 1 win this spring. He has had an amazing run of form. More Sports Day with Matt Granlin after this. Welcome back to Sports Day. More coming up with Matty Granlin. But first, it's time for news headlines with Tony Tardio. It's thanks to Sutton Tools.
Good evening. A child has been attacked by a dog at Corio. Paramedics have taken the girl to Geelong University Hospital with what's believed to be serious lower body injuries. Her condition is not known. Australians will be able to receive Pfizer's COVID-19 booster shot from the 8th of November. The nation's drug regulator has approved the third dose for people aged 18 and over. Aged care residents and frontline healthcare staff will be first in line. Premier Daniel Andrews says no unvaccinated tennis player will be allowed to play at the Australian Open. He says he's not concerned about any pushback from Tennis Australia. $180 million will be put towards the first phase of Australia's national plan to combat child sexual abuse. Part one of the strategy will be driven by 2 4-year action plans. They're designed to provide better protection for children and greater support for survivors. More news at 7.
Time now for a sports update for Tyre Power, Australia's biggest independent tyre retailer, keeping you safe on the roads. Tyrepower.com.au.
I dare say, Darren, that cricket will take a back seat. And I know it's a big statement for me to make in a Cricket World Cup, which absolutely everybody would like to play in. I speak because the team concerned is South Africa, with a history of exclusion and racism. And for this as an issue to still be here and to rear here, well, it's huge.
Certainly is huge. So for those of you who haven't been made aware of it, South African cricket star Quinton de Kock pulled out of last night's win in the T20 World Cup over the West Indies. It's been reported, and we're quite sure that it's prompted by his opposition to essentially an edict that was that the team had to kneel before the game, pardon me, in the, you know, widely understood this gesture against
Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, yeah. Well, for Black Lives Matter and railing against racism, which we all support. Racism in South Africa, as everyone would know, has been a huge issue for decades now. And it has flown on to racism being an issue in South African cricket. Mm. Yeah, it's obviously a hard one to talk about without going in depth around the history. And I've listened to a lot of different commentary on this, Matty, in the last 24 hours, which has been fascinating. But this is an issue that's not going to go away.
The way it all happened was interesting because what happened before the Australian game, players were doing all sorts of stuff. Like, so some before the match were kneeling, some had their
fists in the air.
Had their hands behind their back.
Yep.
And then the South African cricket were embarrassed by that and said to their players, everyone has to do the same thing. Everyone has to kneel. And then de Kock reportedly stewed over it. And he wasn't comfortable with being told what to do, and he pulled out. And it doesn't look like he's going to play at all for the rest of this T20 World Cup.
I got to say, the wording of the statement from South African cricket, I thought, was a real miss. It said here that it was imperative for the team to be seen to be taking a united and consistent stand against racism, especially given South Africa's history. You don't want to be seen to be doing it. It's not that one of those issues, is it?
Yeah. And I suppose the big question is, you know,
rallying against racism isn't something that you want to be seen to be doing.
But the other side of the coin is, should you be told what to do? Like, if you don't feel like you want to do it, should you have to do it?
There's civil liberties at play, I get that.
Yeah.
And everyone's different. But it's just, you either want to do it or you don't, I think. Anyway, more Sports Day coming at you right after this. Nat Fyfe sounds like he's got a delayed start to the preseason. We'll tell you about it next. Welcome back to Sports Day for Red Energy and the new Kia Niro. Nat Fyfe to have a delayed start to pre-season after undergoing follow-up surgery to repair a troublesome right shoulder. That is not good for the Dockers.
Other news out of the West, and I want your opinion on this, is the Premier over there, Mark McGowan, indicating
the Cowboy.
That,
yep.
that they may not reopen their borders until mid-next year.
Oh, Cowboy.
So he's come out and said that he sees a reuniting with Victoria and New South Wales in the first half of next year, whatever that means. So I don't know what it meant. What certainly is not good for the summer sport. So you look at A-League. I think the owner of the Perth Glory came out today and said that he's thinking about tossing the towel in because they're going to have no crowds if that's the case.
Hutchie just bought the Wildcats.
That's right. So if you're a Perth Wildcats supporter or a Perth Glory supporter,
they're just not going to be able to move. I mean,
you wouldn't be buying a membership, would you? And then what about the AFL? They must have some contingencies in place if indeed you can't. I mean, opposition clubs aren't going to fly into Perth anymore and do the testing and the quarantine and all that stuff. They'll just say no.
I mean, if that – it's an interesting question, Matty, because if that is true, what the Premier is saying, Fremantle and West Coast are going to have to hub here.
Yep.
I don't see another alternative.
Yep.
And they're going to have to play home games in not at Optus Stadium.
Yep, for the first
– I mean, we're looking a long way ahead here. But if what Mark McGowan is saying – ends up happening, what alternative is there going to be? Yeah.
No, because clubs...
They have to get 9 games out a weekend. We've seen that the last 2 years. Whatever happens, wherever the game is played, we have to have 9 games.
And the amount of money those clubs, Fremantle and West Coast, will lose. And what about the Ashes? What about the test match in Perth? I can't see that happening.
I think it's going to go to Hobart or Canberra. Just an update in Hound Wars. I think Tom Brown is back from... I think he's back from holiday. That's bad news for Mitch Cleary. It's good news for us on Hound Wars. More sports after this. We're going to chat to Maggie Payne from Country Racing.
It's time for a Country Racing update. The country is back racing strong again. Support local communities and visit countryracing.com.
Welcome back to Sports A. Maggie Payne is our regular here from Country Racing Victoria. The Bendigo Cup was run and won today. We've got Cup Week at Flemington this week, but racing just as strong out in the country. Perhaps even better, Maggie Payne, as we welcome you in.
Well, Sam, you said it, not me. So, looking forward to, obviously, the weather is really spring weather and it's getting us geared up for a big week at Flemington. And getting out to some country racetracks in person. So the Bendigo Cup today just gave us a bit of a sneak peek for that.
Yep, great win by Wentworth. So what's on in the next few weeks, Maggie? What are you spruiking?
Oh, there's lots happening, but the officially get back to the country races is next weekend. You can go to Geelong for the Balan Cup or the Balnarring Picnic. So whatever takes your fancy, whether you like to get a bit more dressed up for the Geelong crowd at Balan, or go to Balnarring, take your picnic chair, take your food, your family, and just sit out on the grass down the peninsula and enjoy a great weekend.
So any restrictions on crowds at those venues, Maggie?
We're pretty lucky at the moment. We're getting up to 5,000. So there's a few restrictions. It's going to be a bit different experience for people that go on course, but thankfully we're nearly out the other side, but up to 5,000. So that shouldn't worry any of those crowd, but we might get lots of people just wanting to go anywhere, so who knows?
Have you been a country race goer, Matty, in your time?
Well, not for the big ones I'm talking about. It's fantastic. It's a great day out.
Nathan Brown, former footballer Nathan Brown, Bendigo boy, took me to the Bendigo Cup one day.
Did he?
Yep. Had a great time there, Maggie. And at the end, I won a Maya voucher for being best dressed, and Nathan wasn't happy.
Oh, gosh, I'd like to see you in your best. I'm sure you would have got fashions on the field. You'll have to get the suit out. But
it's been a while.
He's a sharp dresser, Sam McClure.
It's been a while,
Come to the country races and bring your thongs and your shorts and wear country casual at the country. So
great stuff.
You can get fashions on the field there too.
Thanks, Maggie. Catch you soon.
Thanks, Sam.
Maggie Payne there.
Now, Sammy, when you dress up in your suit and you won the fashions on the field there, are you one of those blokes that don't have the socks on with the shoes? Is that still a thing now, the fact that blokes that get the suit and they don't actually wear socks, they wear the dress shoes with no socks? Is that you?
See, I can't remember that particular day, but I have...
Have you done that?
I have on occasion worn the chino with the suit. But you wear sockettes, Matt. They're little socks. Under the shoes.
Yeah.
If you didn't wear shoes, you'd...
Oh, you're fairly even going to wear socks, don't you? Like real socks, real black socks. You don't wear...
What? Why?
Well,
times change, Matt. You've got to go with it. Don't go against it. Hey, Trevor Nisbet, long-term boss of the West Coast Eagles, had this to say on Triple M about the stand rule. Not often you get players and people in high places at AFL clubs go against rules, I would say. Trevor decided to.
I think it changed the fabric of the game. Look, a lot of people like the standing on the mark, but certainly from an individual point of view, I haven't liked it, and I just don't think we should be taking and changing the rules on such a consistent basis as we have done over the last few years.
I'm actually with him for that part. Yeah. I think we changed far too many rules. I didn't think the stand rule actually helped that much, did you?
No, I didn't like it at all. It's just 17 versus 18 for that split second, and it looked ridiculous. The worst part about the stand rule, which apparently will be in again next year, was when a player was lining up for goal and could just mosey around the man on the mark, and the poor bloke just had to just stand there and watch it happen.
That was Matty Richardson's biggest
and couldn't defend it. I mean, that looked ridiculous. Yeah, I was not a fan of the stand rule, and I think it. You know, the game was quick at the start. It was certainly, I think, a better style of play, but I don't know whether the stand rule had...
Scoring didn't go up.
No, it didn't. I don't think the stand rule had much to do with it.
And then we're talking about... I noticed that there are people trying to get the boundary throw-in, just retired from the game. It was going to be last touch.
Well, Lee Matthews is a big advocate for that. He's cool for that. So he's got a statue at the MCG.
It's Lee. I was just about to fire up on a 60-second rant on how the boundary throw-in deserves its place in the game, and then you tell me Lee Matthews is going.
Yeah, Lee's a big one for that. So he's got a statue. You don't.
No, not sure there's a statue coming anytime soon either. That does us for this Wednesday edition on Sports Day. Geez, good weather coming in Melbourne.
Yes.
30 degrees on Cup Day.
Cup Day is going to be outstanding.
I'll be wearing no shoes Cup Day.
Of course you will be.
I might just be wearing shorts and thongs though as well. Matty, great to have you on.
Thanks, Sam.
Thanks for joining us on this Wednesday evening. We'll see you tomorrow on Sports Day.